All right, if you can turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Okay, I'm just going to read these first couple of verses here. It says, Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Okay, so it's only those couple of verses that I want to look at, and I just want to sort of step through the different phrases that are used in these two verses here, and try and the sort of the title that was sort of on the text and things is excess baggage, and I think maybe in more ways than one, a lot of us carry excess baggage. And I'm going to just look at some of the things that basically hold us back as Christians. And I think we can all look at things in our lives that are like that. So it opens there in Hebrews 12, and it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, there's a lot of the sort of language and terminology that's used there is in a way a little bit foreign to us. But there's one word I think that jumps out as a word that we're all familiar with, which is witnesses. And a witness is obviously somebody that sees something, somebody that watches something. And the reality is that as Christians, we're essentially being watched all the time. And maybe we don't realise it, maybe we do, but whenever we're out in the world as servants of the Lord, we're being scrutinised by people that aren't saved. Whether that's in our families, for those that maybe are in unsaved families, whether it's our school friends or work colleagues, maybe when we're out playing sports, people are watching us and they're watching us all the time. And I had heard that before myself a lot of times. I'd heard people say that you know, as a Christian you're always being watched. And you sort of think about people that you work closely with or people that you spend a lot of time with, and you think, they don't actually watch me. They don't actually care that I say I'm a Christian. They don't really think about it or whatever. And yet there's times that I've been maybe in work and I haven't maybe, you know, I've been in the place that I'm at now for 7 years, and certainly for the first few years I didn't seek to hide anything, but I was never very vocal about being a Christian. And I can remember one conversation. I can't remember exactly how it started, but it was basically something about drink, and one of the guys in work basically put a stop to the conversation because I was in it, or basically said something like, "Well, sure, you know, Johnny doesn't drink, so we'll not, you know, talk about that, or we'll talk about that some other time." And I knew for a fact that I'd never said the words, "I don't drink." I'd never said anything specifically about the church or about things like that. And yet it was clear that people had been watching me. And I was glad, I was thankful that they had seen the right things for a start and that they'd come to certain conclusions. But how easily it would be in another situation that people might have seen me in a different light and me and come to a different conclusion about me. And it just shows you that even when we think we're not, people are interested in what a Christian is and what a Christian lives like, because people, especially in this country, are aware of Christianity. They're aware of the difference between a churchgoer and a true Christian. And so quite often we are by people. And I think it's people who are curious to see how we react to certain situations. People who want to know what is that difference that is supposed to set us apart. And quite often it's those people, maybe in work or in school, that are able to sometimes say to us, "A Christian wouldn't do that." Sometimes even when we ourselves maybe think it's a bit of a grey area. And quite often it's other people who will come and say, "Well, I don't think a Christian should do that." And it just proves that we're being watched. So really what this is talking about are the witnesses, the people that watch us all the time. And it says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And it really doesn't matter whether you're in school, whether you're in church, whether you're at home, whether you're at work. It's important that we uphold our testimony in everything that we do, whether we're playing sports, whether we're on holiday. You know, so many people let the guard down whenever they go off on holiday because they think it's okay. Nobody knows me where I'm going. But yet it's important that we keep that, maintain that testimony, and we maintain that standard that we are supposed to, and it's right that we stand by in the Bible. So people are watching us all the time. So what does that mean for us? What then should we do, and how should we react in that situation? And I think these couple of verses go on to explain what our reaction should be to that. First of all, we have to realize that we're a testimony, we're a walking testimony for Christ. If those people never go into a church, they will understand Christ, or they should understand Christ through us. And so we have a responsibility. And the verse goes on to say, verse 1 goes on to say, let us lay aside every weight. And I think that's probably the first step. Well, it says here it's the first step. And what we need to lay aside are the things that are holding us back, basically. And that's kind of where the excess baggage thing came from. If you're looking to go away on a journey somewhere, whatever that might be, maybe in some cases it doesn't matter, you're going away for 2 weeks or whatever, you can pack what you want. If you're going away on a business trip or you're going away on a short school trip or something like that, you will tend to try and pack as light as you can just to get everything gathered up to get away and to get back again. For some people, packing light means 4 bags or something. For other people, packing light means stick things in your pocket and away you go. Okay, but you'll try and do it as light as you can. It'll just mean different things for different people. And that makes sense, because the more you're carrying with you, the more awkward it is, the more time it takes, it just slows you down. And it hinders you and it holds you back. And that's exactly what it's like in the journey of the Christian life. If we're carrying things along in our lives that shouldn't be there, then those things are going to hold us back. They are going to hold us back, there's just no doubt about it. And they could be legitimate things. They could be perfectly right things, like, in some ways, your family. And I'll go on to clarify that a little bit. I'm not saying get rid of your entire family. Your work can be a hindrance, can hold you back. Sport can be a big one for a lot of people. TV, cinema, whatever, can be a massive hindrance for people if it becomes something that takes up all of your time. Money is also a good one, which is very much related to work. And just to give examples of that, you know, if you think in terms of your family, sometimes what happens in, especially maybe families that aren't, I mean, a lot of us have the privilege of being brought up in Christian families, and so we always have had the support for maybe keeping up with our Bible readings or for praying and things like that. But if you're in a family that doesn't value that, then it's a natural thing that there would be a certain amount of shame would come in if you were to get your Bible out. And so because of your family, you're then hindered from reading your Bible and from praying to God, maybe from going out to meetings and things like this. And so that's an example of how our family can hold us back. For other things, you know that we have, you know, a little child now, wee Daniel, and other folks are expecting as well. Things like a child in the family, the devil can come in and use that as a hindrance to where you would basically go with the attitude of, well, I need to stay home and look after this child. Can't be taking them out to these meetings and that meeting and that meeting. Now, practically speaking, a lot of that makes sense. But you can see how family can very quickly come in and stop you from doing the things that you should be doing as a Christian. And there's other ways as well. Maybe you feel that a certain loyalty to somebody who you've maybe arranged to meet with or arranged to spend time with on a certain night means that you end up missing a particular meeting or a time to get together with other friends and have a Bible study or spend time with Christian friends, how that can get in the way. And again, it just shows you how family can hold you back. It's not that we get rid of our families, but we need to be careful that they're not a hindrance to us. And it's the same with work. A lot of people maybe take on, especially with things the way they are in terms of money, a lot of people will maybe out of desperation take on a job that means that they're maybe not able to get out to a certain meeting like a studer or whatever on a Saturday night. or even further, that they will feel the necessity to work on a Sunday and therefore not get out to church and not have that fellowship with God's people. And although people have to make personal decisions and be led of God, if we see something coming into our lives, like work, like a new job, like a new thing after school, if it's stopping us from having fellowship with God's people, if it's stopping us from reading the Bible, then it becomes a hindrance and a burden. There's nothing actually wrong with those things, but they're weights that are holding us back. And that's kind of what it's referring to whenever it talks about a weight that is holding you back. Stopping you from getting closer to God. It's stopping your journey on with God, that you're not progressing as quickly as you would be. And also then, because you're not as close to the Lord, it's stopping your effectiveness as a testimony. So whenever people watch you, they see that you value family more than you value the Lord. They see that you value work more than you value the Lord. Maybe they even see you and they look at you, and it's a difficult time for folk that are maybe at school doing exams. Maybe they look at you and they see you as somebody that values your schoolwork more than you value the Lord. Maybe you'll dedicate that, you'll go that 110%, go the extra mile in your schoolwork, but you'll never push yourself when it comes to the church or reading your Bible or things like that. And again, it's just to remember that people are watching us. And it's not that we're doing the wrong thing, but it's that sometimes we have to make sure that we're doing more of the right thing so that we're representing Christ in the right way. So there's the weight that holds us back, first of all, just slows us down. Then the verse goes on to say, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And obviously where the other one was talking about potentially legitimate things, so genuine things in your life that aren't wrong, but that could be holding you back, this is now going on to talk about things that are actually wrong in our lives, things that will be holding us back. And we know that not one of us is perfect, and we all have sins, we all have things that we struggle with. And it's interesting that it talks there about the sin. It talks about a particular sin. Now, it doesn't name that sin, because for every person that's different. And I think we can all look at certain things in our lives that are things that we just keep falling back into, the same thing over and over again. And it's that thing, or those things, that so easily beset us, so easily hold us back. And that word beset, it's actually quite an interesting word. It has the feeling of somebody skillfully manoeuvring themselves to stop you from making any progress. So if you think of it in terms of, well, where I would naturally go to a sport, if you think of it in terms of football, an opponent who skillfully moves themselves about to stop you from making progress, to stop you from going forward, that's what sin is like for us. It's not just something that's standing there that we can move around and get past and carry on. It's constantly moving around, trying to get in our way and stop us from making any progress. And that's what the sin in our life is like. And that sin will stop us from being a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because although we maybe think of things that we know that we fall back into that maybe aren't seen, the effect of sin is always seen. So things that we battle with, things that we struggle with, maybe on a personal level, maybe thoughts in our mind that we maybe think, angry thoughts or whatever towards other people, although we think that they're personal and we think that they're hidden, and generally they are, the effect of sin in our lives is always seen. And if people see the effect of sin in our lives rather than the effect of Christ in our lives, then we are not a true reflection of what Christ is. We're not properly representing what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us and what he's to us. And although we, you know, none of us is perfect at all, but we have a responsibility to control our lives and to make sure that the sin is not an influence on us. And the reason why is, for one thing, so that we will have a true relationship with God. Because with that sin, it's always going to be a barrier. Yes, God's opened the door to us whenever we became Christians, but it's always going to be a barrier to a true relationship with God. And although we'll never have a perfect relationship with God on earth, we want to get as close as possible to him. Because the closer we are to God, the more that we can be a witness for him to our friends and to our family. And you think of people maybe in school or in work that you would love to see saved, and yet you know you could never have that conversation with them, or you feel you can never have the conversation with them. Possibly your life is the only opportunity they'll get to learn of Christ. And it's so important that our lives, even the inner thoughts that we have, are reflective of the Lord Jesus Christ and not just of ourselves or of our work or those things. And so we need to be careful of the sin that holds us back. And it can be anything. It could be, you know, it could be your language maybe you struggle with, could be your temper, could be your attitude, could be gossip, could be greed, laziness, whatever. And I think the reason why it says the sin is because although it's talking about one thing and it doesn't name it, it's going to be different for everybody. And we need to be careful just of all the things that impact us and all the things that influence us. We need to guard against them and our influence for God. So those are the things, those are, if you like, the negative aspects that we need to be careful against so that we're a testimony. But then it goes on in verse 1 and says why or what we can do if we get rid of these things. So if we can turn away from the sin, if we can somehow avoid, with God's help, the sin that is holding us back, if we can make sure that we're not being held back by all the weights that are around us, whether it's family or whatever. It goes on to say, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we need to try to run. And if you think of that, just that's basically what the call is from the author here, the writer, that we need to run forward as Christians. That's what we're called to do. We're called to run. And if you imagine that you're running a race and you're carrying, I don't know, 3 bags on top of your head or in your hands or whatever, you're not going to go very fast and you're not going to go very far. And as a Christian, the progress in our lives is our relationship with God. And we are not going to get very far in that relationship or in that understanding with God if we're weighed down by all this weight and if we're held back by all this sin. So we're told to run. And if you think about it, to me that's like an enthusiastic and that's a positive thing. And people sometimes think of it in terms of maybe fear. Fear makes you run away from things and stuff like that. But if you think about kids playing in the playground at school, like P1, P2, P3, just go mental. When children are happy, the first instinct is to run and to go, you know, full tilt everywhere. And that's an instinctive thing whenever there's a happiness and a joy and an enthusiasm. Whenever a child is upset, they just collapse to the floor and cry. It's basically what they do. But when they're enthusiastic, they're going and they're making progress. Now, they're probably running around in circles, which isn't overly beneficial for this. But they're making progress, okay? And I think that's what we should be like as Christians. We should have that enthusiasm. We should have a positive attitude that we want to actually make progress with God. We don't just want to be the same place we were last year, the same place we were 2 years ago, the same place we were 5 years ago. We want to actually make progress with God. We want to enthusiastically run for God and to... that if somebody was to look at our lives a year ago and to look at our lives now, they would actually see a difference when they watch us. And we would actually realise the things that we've learnt for God. But it doesn't just say run. It says to run with patience. Whenever you want to get somewhere, you don't run with patience. Whenever you want to get somewhere, you just run and you keep running until you're... So why does it say to run with patience? Well, I think the reason why is because we have to be patient because we'll not be able to keep running full tilt all the time. I think it's basically God acknowledging that as Christians and as humans, we'll keep on letting them down and we'll keep on falling back into the sin. So although we're supposed to run and make progress with God in our Bible reading, in our church relationships, in our involvement with the church maybe, we have to run with patience because we'll not be able to keep running at full speed all the time. There'll be things that'll come in our way that'll slow us down. there'll be people will come on that will hinder us. There'll be sins that will come up before us, maybe the same sin again, that will stop us from making progress. But instead of just sitting down and crying like a wee child would do, we have to get rid of the sin and get up and run again. And then when it comes back and we're basically halted the next time, we don't just sit down and cry and go, not again. We get rid of the sin and we carry on and we carry on running. And I think that's the call here in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. So, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So basically, the people that are watching us, let us lay aside every weight. So the things that are holding us back, the legitimate things that are holding us back, and the sin that does so easily beset us. We need to get rid of the sin that's holding us back. So we can run with patience the race that is set before us. It says there, the race set before us. Every single one of us has a different journey. It doesn't say that it's just the race. It's the race that's set in front of you. So every single one of us will face different things in our lives. For some people, it'll be easy. Some people get quite an easy ride, and they can just run almost all the way. Some people get it really, really hard, where they find that they're making no progress at all. And if that's the path that God has set before you, then that's the path that God set before you. And if it means you can only run for little stints, and then you have to slow down, and then you have to pick up and run again, and then you have to slow down, then so be it. But make sure you never reach the point where you just sit and stop and get stale, basically. So we all have, some people have rocky paths, some people have smooth paths, some people go uphill, some people go downhill, some people just keep going the same. The path is different for everybody, but it's important that we just keep going along the road. Now,
just finally and very quickly, verse 2. This tells us, we obviously want to make progress with God. And this basically tells us how to make progress with God. It's not just running and running blindly. It's first of all running in the path that God has set before us. But then to actually make progress in our Christian lives, we have to listen to verse 2. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what we have to realize in our lives is that the Lord Jesus Christ started everything and will finish everything. And that applies to our lives. He gave us the salvation that we have. It's because of Him that we have this desire to serve God at all. It's because of Him that we're able to testify for Christ. It's because of Him that we know that we're going to heaven. And so, because the Lord Jesus is the start and the end of everything and the start and the end of our lives, without Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ, we're worthless. Now, people won't tell you that on TV and they'll not tell you that in school. But the Bible essentially tells us that. Without Christ, we're nothing. And we'll never amount to anything. And we'll never be good for anything. Which is why we need to run. We need to run because only by doing that we will ever achieve what Christ has set out before us. He's given us all a path to go along, things to achieve for Him, things to learn from Him, things to speak about to others of Him. And the only way we can ever accomplish that is if we keep getting up and keep on running ahead and following the Lord. So that's how we run, essentially. We run by keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, by reading His Word, the Bible, by praying to Him, by making sure we have fellowship with other Christians, and by constantly getting up and going again, even when we get the knocks and get knocked down. And finally, just looking at why we run. And why is it important that we pick ourselves up after we seem to keep getting hammered by our sins? Or whenever we know that there's things that are holding us back, whether it's our own laziness or whether it's our tiredness at the end of a day, not being able to read the Bible. Whenever we know that there's things that are keeping us from being the people that we should for God. Whenever we know there's things that are stopping us from testifying for Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just fear. But why should we keep picking ourselves up and going on ahead? Well, it says that in verse 2. It says, who is talking about Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the answer to why should we run, why should we make the effort, why should we try and be a better testimony for Christ, why should we try and get rid of the sins that are holding us back? It's because of what Christ did for us. The Lord Jesus Christ had a path set in front of him. It says that there, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. God the Father set down a path for him to follow, and he followed it with joy. And that path was a harder path than any of us could ever imagine. It was the path to the cross, where he would take the sins of the entire world on his own shoulders, and where he would die and suffer for us. Now that's why we should make the effort, because of what Christ did for us. Because without that, then we would be in hell. Without that, there would be no hope in our lives. Without that, there would be no hope for anyone. And yet, because Christ kept his eyes focused on the cross, and he went all the way to do the thing that was set before him, then we can go to heaven. And our friends can go to heaven. And our family can go to heaven. And our work colleagues can go to heaven. Because of what Christ did. And so we need to keep focused. And we need to keep the effort up as Christians. Even when it feels like we're struggling. Even when it feels like we're standing still. We have to get up and move forward. And we can only do that by reading his word. By having fellowship with other Christians. And by praying to him. And we're not alone in that, because it says there he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What that means is that every time we pray, we are praying to the Heavenly Father, the creator of the world, through Jesus Christ the Son. And the Bible says that he intercedes for us. In other words, he represents us to God. Everything we pray, he takes to God his Father. And he as God and the Father have the power to work out everything for us. And so we're not alone. If we feel that we're struggling, if we feel that we can't keep up that pace and we can't keep going forward, we need to pray and ask God for his help, that he'll look after us, that he'll protect us, and that he'll help us to be a testimony and a witness for God, that he'll help us to show Christ wherever we are, whether that's just at home or whether it's in work or in school or whatever, that we'll actually show Christ and prove Christ in our lives so that other people might come and be saved as a result. Okay, we'll just pray and close.